Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Beya Daf Yud, Beya 10a, pagination page 19. We're looking at a Mishnah Masnisin, about 20 lines from the bottom of the page at the end of a line. Beishamai Omrim Beishamai say, Lo Yito, you're not allowed to take birds from the coop where you raise them, and they are free raised, but they raise them in order to make a livelihood from them and to shecht them periodically when they needed food. You're not allowed to take on yomtif from this coop, Elohim kein nanea mi ba'od yom, unless you actually handled them while it was still day, while it was erev yomtif, before the holiday. But Beis Hillel say you don't have to handle them in order to make them unmuktza, to make them designated for yomtif use. Omed ve'omer zeva ze'ani notel, as long as you stand even at the distance and say, this is the one that I'm going to take tomorrow, and you recognize which one it is, that's sufficient even if you didn't handle it. And the Gemara is going to want to develop the theme of what exactly does it take to make the item not muktza. What's the topic of the concept of handling it? And what's the concept of standing at a distance, but definitely identifying, designating the one that you want to use to make it no longer muktza? Now, just to take a step back over here logically and observe that these birds are going to be muktza unless you do something. Whatever it is that you have to do, but you're going to have to do something so that they shouldn't be muktza, because ba'alei chayim, animals generally, are muktza. There's a fascinating discussion regarding pets. The mainstream ruling is that pets, like all other animals, are muktza. There are those who want to say that an animal that's so purposely purchased for the purpose of cuddling, for example, when someone gets a pet for therapeutic purposes, at a certain point we should somehow be able to say that it's no longer muktza on Shabbos. But the case of our Mishnah is way different. Whatever discussions you want to have by pets, but the bird coop that we have over here is intentionally free-raising these birds, but they nest over here. They consider this their home. It's a way that the owner has his livelihood, and perhaps he owns them. He may actually own them, and no one else is allowed to take them from him, but the nature of free-raising them, certainly we understand it's balei chayim, they're muktza, and you have to go ahead and somehow unmuktzaize them in order to use them on Yom Tov. Let's take a look at the Gemara three lines down from where the Mishnah ends, at the end of the line. Uveis Hillel lomale lemeimar zevazani notel. Why indeed does Beis Hillel require that you identify the birds that you're going to take tomorrow? Not like Beis Shammai that you have to pick them up, but he does require that you identify which ones you're going to take. Lema, why isn't it sufficient to say, Mikana ni nota lamacha, from here, with a nice wave of the hand, from some birds that are in this coop, I'm going to take tomorrow for food. Why isn't that sufficient? And the Gemara says that it wants it to be sufficient because of Breira. The concept of Breira, which we've encountered, is that sometimes a person says, now I'm doing an act, like I'm taking teruma. I don't know which ounce of wine is going to be the teruma because it's all mixed in the barrel. But when I finally am able to take off the ounce from the barrel, at that point you'll know which ounce it was. Right now I don't know, but you will find out. It will be verified at a later date. That's the concept of Breira. It will be chosen. It will be clarified. So here also, let the person say, from this bird coop I'm going to take, I don't know which one, but it will be clarified tomorrow when I finally take it, which one it was that I was preparing. And the Gemara says that really that would be a sufficient way to designate or unmuktzaize the bird. However, there's a different problem which we're concerned with. Take a look at the Gemara, two lines up at the beginning of the line. V'hacha haynu taima, this is the reason. Dilma metaltel v'shavik, metaltel v'shavik. We're worried that when he finally comes, he's going to pick up the bird, check it, decide he doesn't like that one. He's going to put it down, and he's going to take a different one, and he's going to put that one down until he finds the one that he wants. V'ka metaltel midi delo chazile. And he was handling, in a sense of mukta, birds that were never designated. Because remember, what did he say? He said Breira. He said, some of these birds are going to be used tomorrow. I don't know which ones, but tomorrow it will be clarified. But he's only clarifying the one that he actually ends up shechting. All the other ones that he starts picking up and checking were mukta, and that never changed because the Breira didn't apply to those birds. So therefore, he has to say, Zeh vozeh ani notel. This is the bird that I'm going to take. Asks the Gemara. V'ha amrit, you're telling me, ba'omed v'omer zeh vozeh ani notel, that from the distance he can say, that's the one I'm going to take, that's the one I'm going to take. Sagya, that's enough? How could that be enough if you're worried that he's going to pick it up and change his mind? So, he never handled the bird. How do you know what's going to be? Just because he designated, he pointed to it, but he didn't actually pick it up. Maybe it's full of fluffy feathers and there's no meat there. How do you know he's not going to change his mind? The Gemara says, Hanimili Meir of Yomtif. It works if he does that from before Yomtif. Avo b'Yomtif, but if he's going to rely on choosing them on Yomtif, Osir, it doesn't work. Because he might pick it up and feel that what he thought was fat is really scrawny, or scrawny is fat, and whichever one he's looking for this particular meal. And he's handling something that was never intended because he's working with the concept of Breira. However, once he designates and says, Ze voze ani notel, this is the one that I'm going to take. So at that point, he's making a decision. In the words of Rashi, Shuvena somech ela al elu. He has made a resolve in his mind that he's relying on this particular bird. And therefore, Bein hayu shemeinim al kushim, regardless of whether it turns out to be fatty or scrawny, he's going to take it. That's his intent, because he's made that decision beforehand. Before Yom Tov, Mishneh Berurah observes Tav Tzadi Zayin Sifkatan Lamed Beis that this really gets into the way a person's mind works. Before Yom Tov, he had the opportunity to handle them. If he chose not to, so he has basically declined certain rights that he's had, and in his mind he's declined them, and he's okay with that. We've brought him to that point mentally that he's okay. He's pointed, he's decided, and he's declined to check them. Whereas what the Gemara was concerned with in Amud Aleph was that he's never declined. He's just said, I'm going to choose tomorrow. Well, choose tomorrow, he's going to first start choosing. But once he's designated which ones, he has forfeited his rights in his own mind to check them. And he's going to be okay with whatever it turns out that they are. We have a similar concept, might make it a little bit more understandable, in the laws of Shabbos by Goruf Vikotum. The special laws that if you have a pot on a fire from before Shabbos, but the pot either has not been totally cooked, or You want to be able to take the pot off and put it back. So we're worried, Shema yichata b'gecholim, maybe you're going to try to stoke the fire. So we have a rule that if it's goruf v'kotum, if you start diminishing the fire before Shabbos by throwing dirt on it, so an act of goruf v'kotum will allow you to use the residual heat that those coals are giving us. One can ask, so I did goruf v'kotum. There's still enough there to be machata. What's stopping me from being machata? But the answer, of course, is that in your mind, once you've done goruf v'kotum, you've made it clear that you no longer intend to do cooking. You've resolved. You've, in your own mind, forfeited that opportunity. You've made a decision. And therefore, we're not concerned that you're going to go ahead and do what you're not allowed to do. In that case, it was Shema Yechata, you're going to stoke the coal, so now we're no longer worried. Over here, once you said, Zeva Ze'ani Notel, according to Beis Hillel, you don't have to actually pick the bird up. But if you've designated the bird from before Yom Tif, and as the Mishnah Berurah says, you had the opportunity to pick it up, and you forfeited that right. You didn't bother doing that before Yom Tif, so you're going to be okay with whatever the bird turns out to be. Remember, what brought us here was that really we would go with Breira, we would allow you to say, whichever one I choose, that's the one. But the Gemara at the end of Amud Aleph observed that if you allow a person to do that, he's going to pick it up, he's not going to like it, he's going to go to the next one. And what results is that the first ones that he handled until he finally chose the one he wanted, all of those handlings were an act of muktzah because it turns out those birds were not designated. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.